The Spring Feast of Israel series, Matzot and Reshith, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. On the 15th day of the same month is the festival of Matzot. For 7 days you are to eat matzah, unleavened bread. Leviticus 23:6. When you come into the land that I give you and reap its harvest, you shall bring an omer, sheaf of barley, of the first fruits of your harvest, to the priest, and he shall wave the sheaf before Yahweh, so that you may be accepted. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. Leviticus 23:10-11. You shall count 7 full weeks from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the omer of the wave offering. You shall count 50 days to the day after the 7th Sabbath. Then you shall present a grain offering of new grain to Yahweh. Leviticus 23:15-16. Although the traditional Orthodox religion of Judaism has counted them as 1 8-day feast, Scripture tells us there are actually 2 separate feasts. Pesach, what has been co-opted by Christianity as Passover, is the first of the feasts of Yahweh that would be given to them through Moses, and the second was the feast of Matzot, unleavened bread. Yahweh would give the children of Jacob, renamed Israel, 5 more feasts, but Pesach is predominant. Israel had been in the land of Egypt for 430 years. The time of this event would be the last night they would spend as slaves in Egypt. Yahweh had already given out 9 plagues against Pharaoh, and the 10th one was about to come. On the 10th day of the first month, Nisan, of the year, they were to take a lamb and set it aside from all the other lambs to examine it for 4 days. Then on the 14th day of the first month, they were to kill the lamb, put the blood of the lamb on the lintel and on the 2 side posts of the door of their homes. Then they were to roast the lamb and eat it in their homes. For on this night, Yahweh was coming through the land, not a death angel. And wherever he saw the blood of the lamb on the doorpost of the home, he would pass over that home, sparing the firstborn in that home. This night, Israel would experience national deliverance by the hand of Yahweh from Pharaoh. This was the beginning of the Exodus to the land of Canaan that Yahweh had promised to them in the Abrahamic covenant. Beginning the day after the Feast of Pesach is the week-long Feast of Matzot, or unleavened bread, celebrated in the land of Israel with an excitement that is truly remarkable to experience. From a balcony overlooking the hillside upon which a settlement is built, the songs being sung from other homes nearby by the men, women, and children of this land wafts up from every corner of the canyon floor, swirling past one's ears with an unabashed exuberance as they made their way upward, a sweet-smelling scent in the nostrils of Yahweh. Being quietly secluded from above offers a vantage point to be able to view the events taking place on the portico below of another small group as they suddenly arose from the table where they had been eating. Singing joyously loud, they locked arms and proceeded to dance with an abandon to the music they voiced, extolling this God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It was a moment that personified the spirit resonating throughout this wonderful land of inheritance. Both Pesach and Matzot commemorate the time when the Israelites left Egypt under the mighty hand of power of this one true Holy One of Israel, to cross the Red Sea, redeemed from the yoke of bondage to walk in freedom. Yeshua kept this feast of Pesach himself as a holy convocation in Luke 22:7-20. In like manner, those of us who have embraced the words of Yahweh, exampled in the life of Yeshua, remember our deliverance from bondage through the blood of the Lamb, just as Israel was delivered from Egypt in the Exodus. The second feast, Matzot, demonstrates a holy walk. In Scripture, the figurative imagery relating to sin is leaven, and the Elohim of Israel asked for a week of eating sinless bread. The bread they took with them was not puffed up. It was baked without yeast. It was unleavened. There simply was not time in their haste to leave to allow the bread to rise. Even in Israel right now, for days preceding the Pesach Seder, or Passover meal, in remembrance of this time of deliverance, stores quit selling bread, and every crumb of leaven is swept from and thrown out of the houses of the people. Following the rabbinical Orthodox tradition, before Matzot begins, there are some preparations to accomplish. First, a week or so before Pesach, the whole house must be cleaned. The purpose of this was to remove all leaven from the house. Until all leaven is removed from the house, it is not worthy for the feast to be celebrated. Then the evening before Pesach, the husband of the house will take the children with him, a candle, a feather, and a wooden spoon, and they will search the house for leaven. He is conducting a religious ceremony in which he symbolically searches for the last vestige of leaven in every room of the house. Usually it is the wife who cleans the house, but in 10 different locations she has left pieces of leaven for the husband and children to find. When they find the 10 pieces, the husband takes the leaven on the wooden spoon along with the feather and candle, wraps them in a linen napkin, and takes them outside to a fire in the backyard, a bonfire in city locations, and throws it all into the fire. In so doing, it states that this house is now worthy to celebrate the feasts. As we walk in Yeshua, the bread of life, we don't abolish Matzot, but rather, in elevating it, we demonstrate a continuous keeping of the feast, which is exactly our instruction from the Hebrew Apostle Shaul in 1 Corinthians 5:8. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Yeshua shall all be made alive, but each in his own order. Yeshua the first fruit, then at his coming those who belong to Yeshua. The feast of Reshit, first fruit, is actually a feast within a feast, a celebration of the first fruit of the barley harvest that begins the day following the feast of Pesach, but only after a Shabbat. Since Reshit is celebrated only after a Shabbat, means it could happen anywhere within the week-long feast of Matzot. Reshit is where the first collected sheaf of barley, known as an omer, is waved before Yahweh to honor his goodness of provision for the children of Israel. Yeshua fulfilled this feast by being resurrected on the same day of the feast. The question is, other Hebrew people were resurrected from the dead, so how is Yeshua the first fruit of resurrection? The answer is because there are two types of resurrections. The first type is merely a resurrection back to natural life. This means that one would die again later. Those who were raised before the resurrection of Yeshua all died again. The second type of resurrection is the true resurrection life, when mortality puts on immortality and corruption puts on incorruption, and one is no longer subject to death. When Yeshua was raised from the dead, he was no longer subject to death. This is the first fruit of the resurrection. The term reshith means that there is more to come. When the priests waved the omer of the barley harvest before Yahweh as the first fruit, he was thanking Yahweh for the abundant harvest that they were about to have. The first fruit were the very first of the harvest, as it was only the beginning of the abundance of the harvest that was about to follow. Messiah Yeshua, the first fruit of the resurrection, meant that he was the first of the resurrection that would never see death again. The abundance of the harvest of the resurrection means that there will be an abundance of resurrections in the future at the day of Yahweh. Yeshua gave his Father his proper first fruits offering. Graves were opened. Dead people rose and were seen after his resurrection in Jerusalem. Our Lord, not unlike any farmer of the soil, gratefully brought before the Father a few early crops of what will be a magnificent harvest later on. With this third feast, however, Christianity has confused the issue by substituting an ancient pagan fertility rite with the original instructions of Leviticus 23:10 through 11. Today, Christianity has an amalgam of a Babylonian festival with a scriptural holy convocation calling it Easter. As it happens, since Yahweh uses the things that come up out of the ground spontaneously and miraculously after a long dead winter to represent the resurrection of Yeshua, where Easter is concerned, Christianity has confused a pagan ritual with first fruit. Each spring, the Babylonians saw the genuine first fruits of the ground and assumed it would be a fine time to ask their goddess Ishtar, or Easter, for new babies. They worshipped the things in nature which represented fertility, such as the rabbit and the egg. The people wore new costumes in keeping with the new buds on the trees and shrubbery. Today, we continue the Babylonian rite with our Easter bunny and our painted eggs and our new outfits for the Easter parade. An egg hunt, of course, represents the attempt to conceive a baby. The first day of Matzot is also the first day of the counting of the Omer, the 49 days leading up to the Feast of Shavuot. What has also been co-opted by Christianity as Pentecost on the 50th day. By this we'll all know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another, the brethren. John 13:35.